Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Network. The Buffalo Bills beat New Orleans 31-19. We're going to pause 10 seconds now. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point After. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, ready to sound off after a fourth straight loss for New Orleans, this time falling 31-19 to Buffalo. I'd mentioned early on, Bobby, there were at least some positives. Hey, we made all our kicks and there were fewer penalties in this matchup, but still a lot of the same old inconsistencies and mistakes creeping up that end up hurting yourself.
Well, I don't know. It's professional football. There's no moral victories. I mean, it's like, oh, we played hard. Oh, so what? We didn't get embarrassed?
Correct.
No. When you get embarrassed, especially at home, hopefully that's not the case against the Giants or the Patriots, then you will get booed. You will get booed, and, you know, I don't want the bags coming out, but that could happen at home because it's not going to happen on the road. And you never want the Saints to become the Aints, where all of a sudden you're wearing bags, and then they disrespect your NFL team. And it's not so much, you know, you could, you know, if he's one of you, they're one of your own. You know, like you could give your kid the business, some, you don't want nobody else giving him the business, you know, kind of thing. But I'm telling you, they're going to mock us. If you all of a sudden, the Saints are struggling just because maybe you want attention, Boone's all right, but he started wearing bags. What are they going to show on the not from a national perspective? That's all they're going
to
show.
They can't wait to show that, right?
Yeah, that's what they're going to show. That's what you got to try and avoid as the Saints organization. You have to play hard. I think if we play like we played today against the Giants and the Patriots, again, no moral victories. But I think you say, well, we have a chance to win at the end, and the Boo Birds wouldn't come out, but you play lay an egg like Seattle. No, you don't want that to happen because it definitely would come out. And, you know, you want to look like you care or you focus or you're concentrating. I mean, just at times, the lackadaisical effort of Chris Olave. I mean, he wants to get paid to be a $20 million a year receiver. Why are the Saints going to give him that much money? I mean, he's an NFL receiver, but he's not a number one. It looks like he finally woke up a little bit. He ended up having... but I don't know. He still had six targets. He had three catches. He should be having six targets, five catches, or six for six. You know, like Shakir, their receiver, had five targets, five catches. You know, a long gain of 43 yards. If you look at Olave, his long gain was 10 yards, average 6.7. No, he's not a chunk receiver or something, given opportunities. And then, you know, I take up a Spencer Rattler, but hit your hand, supposed to catch it. I thought the Brandon Cooks play was the touchdown. Looked like they called a touchdown on the field. Looks like he had it on his leg and never hit the ground, but, you know, they overruled it. But Spencer Rattler got to make a better throw. You know, that's an easy touchdown. So I don't always take up for the quarterbacks. No, he has to make that throw. That was just too easy.
That was tough because I didn't think there was conclusive evidence to overturn the touchdown call.
Especially because they called touchdown on the field.
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah, to overturn that. But, you know, we almost expect that maybe to not get that go our way. But still too many missed tackles. Okay, the coach could put you in the right position to have success and just missed tackles. You know, got embarrassed a couple of times and hit him right in the chest. Pete Warner had a poor game. Or I want to say he had a terrible game. Okay, I'm trying to be kind. Poor game. Pete Warner, who we paid, he ended up having three tackles. But he could have had a way more impactful game. Just make the play he's supposed to make. You see that one time Josh Allen juked him? That ain't Alvin Kamara juking you. Oh, that's not like Cooks juking you. That's the quarterback. And stuff. And then Spencer Rattler had a nice juke. But it's just, I'm telling you, we're in the meeting rooms and the quarterback jukes you. Unless it's Lamar Jackson on that level or Michael Vick and all, then the players know you can get embarrassed.
I'm madder at the drop pick.
But yeah, with Pete Werner. But Josh Allen, you know, he can run over you and all that, but it's not like he really put that harsh of a move on Pete Werner with that. But, you know, you're looking at the series, and we play well in Buffalo. We've been doing the embarrassing moments against the Buffalo Bills in their backyard. And, you know, if you look at it, Buffalo, how you just got to win, though, because that's all anyone's going to remember. You know, a month from now, no one will remember what happened in the Saints-Bills game. They just go look at the scores. Oh, the Bills won easy, because that's a big win. Whenever you're winning by double digits, so 12 points. I did think the Saints were going to cover, and they did. I just thought it might have been more a backdoor cover, but it wasn't even that, because the Saints were right there. But you look at the Bills, how their fan base, their expectations, they've now won 13 straight games at home. That's not by accident. That's just not all. The Bills are lucky. No, they're a pretty damn good team. And, you know, we've only played the Bills 13 times. You know, we have a winning record against the Bills, and the Bills went to four straight Super Bowls. You look at the history of the teams. Now, the Saints have a Super Bowl win. The Bills don't. And on the road in Buffalo, you know, it's supposed to be a hostile environment. You know, we had 1-4 in a row. Now we're 4-2. So you look at, it's not like the Bills are invincible. It is pros versus pros. That's why I say it's no moral victory. You have to somehow find a way to win a game. And, you know, you can say so close but so far, but either you're winning or you're losing. This still has to get better on offense. We're only 38%. That has to be, I'm not even seeing amongst the best, but that still needs to be instead of 38%, I don't know, 45%. Not be better if you high 40s, low 50s, obviously. But our defense did pretty damn good, you know, because we were giving up coming into the game, and I said, well, we got to flip that. We were giving up 46% on third down. Today, they were only 30%. That being Josh Allen and the Bills, they were 3 of 10. And coming into the game, we were 35% conversion. Well, we're 38. So that's the same song and dance in that regard when you look at it. Now, red zone, you know, you get down there, you got to score touchdowns. Like, I didn't even want to disrespect the play and call it the Philly special. No, that's going to be an infamy, the Olave special. Spencer Rattler's open. That Olave probably played quarterback in high school, I'm sure. Or he's thrown a lot of footballs.
I thought we'd finally see Alvin Kamara throw a ball. Not Chris Olave do it.
Well, maybe they obviously had confidence in Chris Olave, but he has to put some air in that. It's a touchdown, you know. But again, you got to get points there. And you're saying, well, even if you get a field goal, but you can't get no points. You can't have a turnover down there. And speaking of turnovers, we still can't end up on the plus side. I thought we'd have to be +2 in this type of game to win. Because the Bills didn't turn it over. They don't turn it over. They finally turn it over against the Saints. But the turnover margin was 0. Again, even for the game, even for the season, what all said and done. But you look at that red zone, we only was – now, this could have been great. You know, let's say Olave throws – woulda, coulda, shoulda. Olave throws, boy, nice pass, hit Spencer Rattler. Then all of a sudden, instead of 2-for-4, that's acceptable 50%. You could have been 3-for-4, which is outstanding in the red zone. This is not good enough defense. They were 2-of-3. Somehow, you know, they're moving the ball on us. Because we were, at one point I wrote down, I got to get this, we were getting gashed.
That third quarter there touched the Buffalo Bills.
The third quarter, Steve.
It kind of looked like he flipped the switch and said, okay, I'm not fooling around anymore.
Okay, enough of that. That right. Was after, you know, when remember Olave dropped the pass and then that was later in the third quarter. It was 3rd and 7 and Rattler hit Juwan Johnson +4. So they got the ball back. This is what I wrote, like missed tackles. They had runs. This is like the varsity JV, +10, +15, +11, +17, +11, +16.
Make it stop.
They went 9 plays, 80 yards, 6 minutes, 9 seconds. That's when Josh Allen, the 5-yard touchdown run. And it was only 14-10 to make it 21 to 10 at that time. Now, so looking at the red zone, bringing that down. Now, looking, okay, can we run the ball, stop the run? I thought that'd be interesting. You look at total touches and total yards from scrimmage, Alvin Kamara, and you look at Cooks, and Cook, what he would do. Okay, we were outstanding running the ball. We've always been able to run the ball against the Bills. Enough rushing attempts, 34 rushing attempts. We had 189 yards. Well, the Bills were dead last because they got off to such a poor, horrendous start when the Ravens gashed them for over 200 yards. So they were number 32 rush defense, giving up 156 yards on the season. So we were able to get 189, 5.6 yard average, outstanding, but not so good on the defense. They ran the ball 32 times, which the Bills will run, and they average 5.2 yards a carry. Now, this is not acceptable. This would be acceptable for half. 109 yards passing total. Spencer Rattler, I think that's when you count the sacks and all combined, but he actually was 18 of 27, 126. Only 4 yards at 0.7 an attempt with Josh Allen and the Bills with 9.5 yards per attempt in that regard. Now, he had a quarterback rating of 113.6, and Spencer was like 89.4. But so that was not good stopping the run, but it was good us rushing the ball, and we did attempt to run the football enough. Now, the one thing that we did win, which is very encouraging, penalties.
Right, it's like,
Well, you know, you got to look for some positive. Now, we need to do the same thing as far as penalty-wise, but it doesn't matter when the penalties occur. You know, when you're shooting yourself at inopportune times in the foot. But when I look at, if we can do this, this is winning football. It depends, just because of the sheer number. If we do this against the Giants, Patriots, and all going forward, only 4 penalties for 41 yards. And the Bills were the least penalized team with 14 in the whole NFL. Today they had 11. Remember I told you 9 penalties or more? So really, they beat us by more than 12 points. That's like giving up a touchdown. I know McDermott, they're going to preach that we cannot have as much as 11 penalties when all was said and done. Now, you look at Alvin Kamara, averaged 4.7 yards a carry, had a long gain of 17. He still looks like he can hit it and get it to me. Cook for them. Whenever he rests, they're not the same team running the football, but he averaged 5.3 yards a carry. He had a long gain of 15. Alvin had a long gain of 17. But total yards of scrimmage, Kamara had 19 touches, 72 total yards. Wasn't as involved as he needs to be. Now, he had 4 catches. Think of Alvin Kamara. A long gain of 4, but 4 catches. He even had some minus 4 catches for 2 yards. So he ended up with 72 total yards of scrimmage.
Still missing from us. Yak, man. Yak.
Yeah, where Cook had 135 total yards of scrimmage. Now, obviously, that was more running the football with 117. And he had 3 catches for 18 yards. He had a long gain of 18. Let me see that. No, a long gain of 11 that occurred when that happened. Now, on you look at the defensive side, I don't know. I guess it is pros. They could take it. They men. Kool-Aid.
He led the team in tackles. That's a positive.
Yeah, but way downfield yeah. Or something. He might have been tripping him. No, a positive. Kool-Aid needs to, I don't know, what we were looking at, Charlie? People like, what's his new nickname? Sugar Water McKinstry?
Yeah, that was one of our text line.
Yeah, Sugar Water. He needs to, when he gets back to playing at a high level, hopefully that's the case, we'll call him Kool-Aid. Right now he's Sugar Water. Sugar Water McKinstry. Too many missed tackles. You can see the game plans the opposing teams are picking on him. Now we're using a rotation, just seeing if somebody can work out. Whether it's McKinstry, the young draft pick from Louisville, Quincy Riley, he ended up with 4 tackles. He's in that rotation along with Isaac Yadam. I thought Carl Grandison, now you can't have him in pass coverage down the sideline. He got burned on that, but we got to get to the passer before that would ever occur. But looking at Carl Grandison and Cam Jordan, I think they had a similar type impactful game like they had against the Cardinals the first game. And looking at Cam was kind of going to be on a roller coaster because of his age. He ended up with a sack. Carl Granderson had a sack. Cam had two quarterback hurries, tackles for loss. Granderson had a quarterback hurry, and he had two tackles for a loss. And looking at what was it was something that coming into the game that in the last game that he had, did have good production. I'm going to have to find this. Carl Granderson playing against the Bills. So that's always been a positive thing. I think Brian Brzee, you know, a terrible game. The impact he had in the Seattle game, he ended up with a sack. Quarterback hurry, tackle fell out, loss. I mentioned Pete Werner. Nathan Shepard, he is what he is. He ended up having two quarterback hurries. Yeah, but he's going to have two or three tackles a game just the way he is. Chris Rump, I think a nice addition. He affected that that was the possible interception that we didn't get with Pete Werner, but it was still, you know, kind of pass defender, hit him on his hand. He had a quarterback hurry. He had two tackles on the special teams, which led the team unassisted. Stutzman, Valus Jones Jr. also had a couple. But, I mean, there's not much difference. Again, it's pros versus pros, but that's a big difference whenever it's double-digit. When you're going against a team like the Bills, I said if we would have upset the Bills, it'd be the upset of the whole 2025 season. I don't know if you agree with that, Steve, but that's just my perception.
Like the whole NFL?
Yeah, like I think even all the games in the future, I think us coming off the Seahawks game and the way the Bills were playing and the point spread and what Vegas thought, I go, no, there's no way. I'm not talking about you win, like, you know, you take the points and you win that way. I'm talking about out and out win the game.
Yeah.
It's like there's no way Vegas thought the Saints were going to beat the Bills. But, you know, we did finally score in the first quarter. You know, coming into this game, we had given up 30 points in the first quarter. We had zero.
Right.
So I'm going to have to break it down. So we've been outscored.
44-7 now.
Yeah, 2-1. Even in the second, third quarter, we've been outscored 2-1. Fourth quarter, we've had the edge, but we've been so far behind where it doesn't even matter. Now, Groupie, how about Groupie?
2-for-2.
He didn't, you know, three straight games, they missed a field goal. He didn't miss one. So you can look at some positives going forward. But Groupie, to me, if he's going to miss a kick in the future, in any game, it has to be over 52 yards. Any 52 on, he has to make them all. And then, because that's the way the NFL, that's how demanding it is, you know, right now. Now, looking at coming into the game again, how I said, are we running the football, stopping the run? I thought if we could flip that, and we did even better running the football. You know, we're averaging like 3.9, that's 4 yards a carry, where we got 5.6. No, that's a good trend. Offensive line winning. I mean, Cesar Ruiz, I think, is he hurt? Yeah, some fans say, well, let him stay hurt. Let with Simpkins play. You know, we'll just have him at guard. The very first play that Trevor Penning was in, I wrote this in my notes. I was like, well, that's not good. It was like all of a sudden we're on defense because, you know, we declined. And then I wrote, Kamara -1, Trevor Penning got beat. You know, to start. But then we end up, you know, able to score on that drive. Kendrick Miller, that was the Kendrick Miller we drafted, that 18-yard touchdown run. That was a great run. We go 7 plays, 69 yards to tie the game, 7-7, and finally score in the first quarter. But again, the next time they got the ball, too many missed tackles, chunk plays. Cook had runs of +7, +9, +7, then that 1 yard a touchdown. Too many up and down, roller coaster type penalties throughout missed tackles throughout the game that you cannot have. And this is the one thing you cannot have. Okay, we forced a 3-and-out after the turnover when we had the outstanding interception by Sanker. And that was a very excellent, and he made back to back plays, great pass defending. And in the next play, 3rd and 10, he intercepts Allen. And that was the Bills' first turnover of the season and the Saints' first pick. So we finally got an interception.
But couldn't carry the momentum to points.
No. We go 3-and-out after the turnover, and we're in plus territory. And that was 3rd and 8 when Ratley hit Chris Olave on the hot rod, and he just drops it. I mean, come on. Your best receiver can't do that. And that's a momentum killer. You have the momentum, you have a chance, you're going to go take the lead. And we had a lot of plays on the Bills plus side of the field. We ended up, I think Deuce had said this, I don't know what the exact number off the top of my head, but we ended up, when you look at, you know, 65 is always the measuring stick, offensive plays. Well, we had 65, the Bills had 57. And I want to say off the top of my head, I think we had like 38 plays out of the 65 on the Bills side of the field. And we could not. This would be the type game with that kind of field position, you should score 30 points. This would have been like a 30-point outing. What I'd said before the game, I don't think we can afford to ever get in a shootout to be able to win the game. But again, there's no moral victories. The Giants are going to come to town, and we're playing them at home. They coming away with their first win. We're going to be going against a rookie quarterback now. He got his first win. We're trying to get Spencer Rattler his first win. If Spencer Rattler don't win the next game, he's tied with Troy Aikman to start his career at 0-11. Now, Troy Aikman made the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So what are you saying? Bobby Rattler's going to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how his career plays out. But, you know, this is why I said this in the pregame. I look at the glass half full. And you always look at strength of schedule. But I'm sure the Giants are saying the same thing. Oh, we can win two in a row now. Even though we're going to New Orleans, we can beat the Saints. And then didn't the Patriots come up with a big win? Tell me that Patriots score, because I want to say the Darren May was like unbelievable today or something.
They ended up beating the Panthers, Bobby, 42-13.
And the Panthers just beat the Falcons 30-0. So the NFC South, it ain't there for the taking, because that's Tampa Bay's division, the way the Bucs are playing. But the Patriots are going to say the same thing. I don't know who the Patriots play next week, but anyway, they're going to say, oh, well, we can take the Saints. But that's why I try to be optimistic
Oh, the Patriots are at Buffalo.
Not so fast.
Yeah, exactly.
So not so fast. But this is why I was saying, okay, where are we at right now to begin the season? You can break it up in quarters. You know, when you had 16 games, you go 4-4-4-4. It's okay. Where are you after four games? Well, now they play 17, but you still can do it like three or four games, kind of where you're at. But New Orleans was one coming into this game, one of six 0-3 teams in the NFL, joining the Texans, Dolphins, Titans, and both the Jets and the Giants. Now, we all know the Giants won. But what I was encouraged, the black and gold, look, we play all of those teams this season except the Texans. So there may be opportunities to come away with a few wins. That's what I was saying, four or five wins. I don't know, but shame on the Saints if we can't take advantage playing against teams like right now, the Giants, Jets, Dolphins, or Titans. Now, they're probably saying the same thing about us. But that's just where we're at right now. We got to somehow find a way to win. And again, you could say, and maybe might have peed you a little bit, well, they played hard and at least we didn't get embarrassed. But no, it's pro football. Either you're winning or you're losing. It's like I said.
To feel good about the game, at least you can say they didn't look as awful as last Sunday in Seattle.
No, last Sunday in Seattle,
it was like they got all their talent sucked away from them.
Well, it was like, why are we even? It was like a money game. It was like the Seahawks would have paid us $2 million to go play in Seattle. You know, you got those college games where they just pay you to help your budget. No, it didn't like we even belonged on the field. We looked like we belonged on the field with the Bills.
Correct.
But it's the same song and dance. We just can't finish games and make enough plays to win. Like, you know, I say so close, but so far. Again, I'd rather us win ugly. Boy, we were lucky. We had a horseshoe up all you know what. There's no way we should have won that game. Well, I'd rather win like that. Then, man, we played hard. But look all the opportunities we had. We played really good, but we didn't win. Because they just count whether you won or lost the game.
Why is it too though? When it rains, it pours. The bounces don't go your way. The calls, nothing seems to go right when you're just in a rut.
Well, no, that's why I was kind of with the Brandon Cooks touchdown. I go, they called a touchdown in the field. I think that they're not going to overturn it. And then I said, well, they overturn it? I said, I got to see the angles. And the angles that we were able to see on TV, it looked like when he trapped it on his leg and he pulled it in. But again, first things first, Spencer Rattler can't throw that bad of a pass. That's an easy touchdown. So you can look at the little things. And right. Okay, if you do this, then that wouldn't happen. And what occurs? And then you have drop passes. Well, no, that you got to catch it. You know, that's a good pass. And I shouldn't have been this harsh, at the end of the first half. I don't know. I think we're down on the goal line. And then, you know, Spencer Rattler, I think, was trying to hit Rashid Shaheed in the corner. I think he wiped out one of the band members or somebody playing the drum. And Rashid Shaheed's going, wasn't even involved in the play, going after, or like, I could see Rashid Shaheed doing that, but not Olave. Olave is going and like, no, that's not the time to be empathetic or sympathetic. You should be so focused on football, you're not worried about, unless you ran over somebody, you're concerned with their health. But no, here's Chris Olave. You know the play I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm just laughing because Olave just can't do anything right now.
No, I'm like, because why is Olave worried about the band member? And then he goes out there and underthrows and throws an interception.
Well, maybe he was Olave worried about Shaheed.
Huh?
Maybe he was worried about Shaheed getting tangled up.
No, he was worried about the dude banging his drum or something. I was just so discouraged that you should be so focused on the game unless you're involved in running over. You know the guy usually holds that thing for the noise? You know, it seems like they always get wiped out. The one that thinks for like the football TV noise.
Right, right.
And you see him do a backflip and some player will run him over and, oh, they're concerned about him. But unless you involve, I mean, come on, you're not a trainer. You shouldn't be.
I think it because it was a female, too, so there could have been like a.
I was so focused on the
about
play.
A girl getting trucked by the football player.
I didn't even know if it was a girl. Was it Pat? I don't know. Patty, I don't know. Was it a girl? I mean, yeah, you're so focused.
It was a female that got run over.
If you're so focused in the game, you don't even like realize that. I don't. Whatever.
Well, the Saints end up falling 31-19 at Buffalo. Now 0-4 on the season. We're taking your calls here. You can sound off on the WWL Talking text line, 504-260-1870. We'll be back with more of The Point after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on back, Hoodats, to The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints losing in Buffalo 31-19, 0-4 in the season, Buffalo 4-0. Going to check in on our Point After talk and text line, 504-260-1870. If you want to sound off and join the conversation with the Cajun Cannon. First up, Hector in New Orleans wanted to talk about this one. Hector, how you doing today, ma'am? Hector, you with us?
Hector, you there? I know Hector always has some good points.
Try back again, Hector. Yeah, we'll try and get to you. Hollywood in Thibodeau. What you doing over there, man? How's it going, Hollywood?
Hello, Bobby. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
What's up, Hollywood Swinger?
Hey, Bobby. We got to learn how to get a W. That's the bottom line in this business. We're tired of losing.
Right. You don't get – it's no moral victory. It's, oh, well, the boys played hard. You know how your mom and all might tell you, oh, well, at least y'all played hard. Y'all had a chance. No, you got to win. It's the pros.
Too many excuses. We got to get a W, make it feel better.
Right.
Win.
Yeah, win. You feel better. You have a little more pep in your step in the locker room on the next all week right. of practice. Yeah, somehow we got to find a way to win. Rattler's still fighting, though. For a guy that's 0-10, he was real aggressive running the football, too. You saw he was, heading north and south, running upfield. You know, he actually had, you wouldn't think this, he actually had more rushing yards than Josh Allen. Now, it was only four more. Josh Allen had 7 carries for 45 yards, but he had a better average. Josh Allen had 7 carries, 45 yards. His long gain was 27, had that touchdown run, 6.4. Spencer Rattler, 6 carries, 49 yards, 15 long gain, 8.2. So a lot of people wouldn't think that maybe Spencer Rattler would have more rushing yards than Josh Allen.
Now, Bobby, Kendrick Miller and Kamara, they ran the ball good today. So I guess the offensive line did a pretty good job to open up them holes, huh?
Yeah, but the Bills' run defense sucks. They were dead last. So you got to keep that in perspective. You know, you're not going to be strong in every category. They were giving up 156 yards a game, and we got 189 today. Now, with that being said, a big of that average and why they were dead last, because their very first game, I don't know what the Ravens ran against them. Then the Ravens, it seemed like they had like 230 or 240 yards rushing. But even the Dolphins gashed them. So, no, I'd have been extremely disappointed if we were not able to run the ball like we did, and not even counting Rattler. But you look at Kendre Miller, almost 6 yards a carry, 5.9, 11 carries, had that long gain of 18, that nice touchdown run where he was breaking tackles. That's the guy we drafted out of TCU. And then you look at Kamara, 4.7. No, so Hollywood, you have to be real. Please now, can we do that against the Giants? Because we're going to be going against the one strength, and this is coming into the season, and they've been a little inconsistent at times. On paper, the Giants has the best D-line, or for sure top three in the whole NFL, and they come into the dome. Hey, Bobby, so who's going to win the trenches when we play in the Giants? That'll be interesting.
Bobby, did you like that play call right before the half when they had that trickery play? All the random
I like the trick play if it works. Mm-hmm. If it don't work, why are we trying to get too damn cute? You know, just run the ball. We running the ball hard, a couple of runs, and tried pounding in there. But when you run a trick play, it all's about if it don't work. If it doesn't work, why in the hell are we doing that? We're trying to trick them.
And then it works brilliant.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, if Chris Olave throws a good pass, puts a little in the air and it's not picked off. Oh, what an outstanding play, Kellen Moore. We really caught him off guard. So I don't know. It's all in hindsight when you look at that.
Hey, Bobby, you know what would be nice next week? The Giants come in. We beat the Giants in the dome because we don't play well at all in the dome. So I hope we get a win for the home fans.
Amen. Amen. We have no, right now, no dome field advantage. If you just look as late as far as taking care of home field advantage, you'd always say this, how you get the double-digit wins. Now we play 17, but I remember this example from Coach Warren all the way back. When you are playing, how do you get to 10 wins? You know, do you protect your home turf, your home field, or far as going on the road? I'm telling you, the coaches would always emphasize, you have to go 4-4, 500 on the road, and then you got to go 6-2 at home. You know, then all of a sudden, you're winning double-digit wins, and you have a chance to win. So, yeah, Hollywood, we definitely have to win. I think even to salvage our season, just to make us feel good about ourselves, because I'm going to look at, Steve, we need to look at who we playing like after the Patriots. Like, you know, let's say the next month. Yeah, yeah.
At Chicago.
Oh, that's going to be tough. I'll tell you right now, at Chicago, that's good. Then who after Chicago?
Home versus the Bucs.
That's going to be an upset at home. So that's why, I mean, I'm telling you, we got to take care of business against the Giants and the Patriots. Then you might have a little more confidence going to Chicago. And then with Tampa Bay, a division, your first division opponent coming to town.
We're taking a break here on The Point After. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon tonight, 504-260-1870. We'll be back with even more. Stay tuned after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Want to hear from you, Who Dat Nation, here on The Point After, 504-260-1870. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the Saints' 31-19 loss at the Buffalo Bills. Now 0-4 on the season for New Orleans. Going to get right back into that talk line. Hector in New Orleans, checking back in with you. You there now, Hector?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Woo-hoo.
I'm here. Got a comment and a question for you guys. With Olave's inconsistencies, how come we're not seeing more of the guy that we traded for? What is his name? Valet? Because I noticed that Valet we had
from the Broncos
involved,
yeah.
More involved. Brandon Cooks more involved.
Yeah, Valet is a big target, you know, in that slant route. He blocked out, used his body position when he scored that touchdown in the dome. They're going to give Olave every opportunity to see if he's the man. And I can tell you right now, he wants to get paid like a number one receiver. I mean, Hector, would you give him $1 million as a number one receiver? I mean, I don't think you would, huh?
Actually, I wouldn't. I wouldn't give him anything right now. I'll just see if I can get rid of him.
Yeah. No, to trade him, yeah. No, I mean, that is a lot within his hands. Chris Olave kind of controls his destiny. And you know what? And he can say what he wants, you know, whoever. Well, it doesn't matter who's throwing you the ball, but you know, coming into the game in the whole National Football League, you know who was the most targeted receiver out of any receiver on any team?
Chris Olave.
He was.
Chris Olave. So, what? Hello? And he's averaging like, not double digits, like with 5-7 yards of reception? Come on.
Yep. And also, too, I got another comment. This is my comment. I mean, we played better, especially in the third down deficiency department. I thought we did a lot better than
right?
the previous 3 weeks. However, we just, towards the end of the game, you know, we have momentum on our side. It was 21-19. We can't kick the ball in the landing zone, penalty. Then we give up 3 chunk plays. They get a touchdown. And then we punt the ball back to them, and then we get another penalty on special teams. I mean, things like that. We just got to figure out in the fourth quarter when we have momentum on our side, we got to find a way of making plays to shut them down.
Well, Hector, you know what people say about that. I don't care if high school, college, pros, or all. You know what they say that? Well, that's what bad teams do. You know, if all of a sudden it keeps being a trend, like, if we wouldn't have done this, or wouldn't have, you know what I mean? All of a sudden you can,
bad luck.
Yeah, about a handful of plays that would have changed the difference. Or you look at, what if Groupie would have kicked it where he's supposed to kick it? Then you could start naming things. But then if you consistently keep doing that, well, and it causes you to not be able to close out games to win, then therefore you're a bad team. So we have to overcome that from a commoner standpoint. Now, so if you come away with a win, somehow you can win, then you get because it could be that snowball effect. It could be the positive or negative, where all of a sudden well, some player, you know, as selfish as human beings that we are, well, I'm playing my ass off. I don't know about you. You know, then they start, you know, saying, well, it's you, whatever. And then you're not playing as a team. We're not there in the locker room. I think they're playing hard. Like the second half, they played hard against the Seahawks. But who cares? It's too late. Come on, you can't be down 21-0 with the 6 minutes left in the first quarter.
Okay, I'm finished.
Yeah. Anything else, Hector?
That's it from Hector.
Okay, no, right.
Yeah, no,
I'm good. Thanks, guys. Have a great.
All right, Hector. Thank you for the call.
Saints lose to the Buffalo Bills 31-19, week 4 of the NFL season. Going to take a break here on The Point After. Be back with more. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. Bobby, I know you had something you wanted to talk about with Chris Olave.
Yeah, and the receivers. And you know, Spencer Rattler, it's all tied together. As far as, you know, chunk plays, what do you describe a chunk play as? A splash play?
Over 20, huh?
Yeah. Okay, and I'd said this in the pregame, and if you didn't hear it, I think it's worth repeating that if you look at it, like how many percent of passes do you complete, like well, you might see a splash or a chunk play. Okay, 11%, this is going into this game today, 11% of the passes by Rattler thrown this season have traveled 20 or more yards, and that's considered a deep pass, which is the 12th highest in the NFL through 3 weeks. And you think, like, okay, deep ball throwers. Do you know that was higher than Matthew Stafford, who was at 9.5, Josh Allen, who was 8.1, Justin Herbert, 7.4. But then, you know what the thing is? Do we get any yards after the catch?
No.
You know, like when they're hitting the tight end, I look at Josh Allen a lot of times. You might see him threw a chunk play, got intercepted today. We ended up coming, a Sanker came up with an interception. Or then you look at like an intermediate route. That's like 10 to 19 yards in the air, where he was 8th in the NFL. So there's a misconception on that. But when you look at Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, and the Saints are aware of this, but can they do something about it? That Chris Olave was averaging, coming to the game, 7.2 yards, and then Shaheed 9.1, are both more than 5 yards below their career average yards per catch. Now, Rattler's averaging 8 yards per completion, which is the worst mark of any NFL starter, and 2.5 yards worse than the league average. And no Saints quarterback with at least 3 starts in a season has ever averaged fewer than 10 yards per completion in a single season. Well, just look at like yards per attempt today, like Josh Allen, 9.5, Spencer Rattler, 4.7. Therefore, that's why when all said and done, even though he's had 18 completions, again, this wasn't a half, this was a whole game. We had 126 yards passing. It just seemed like more than that. Didn't it seem like we had more than that?
For but, sure, because but, the offense, we were keeping up with the Buffalo for a while.
But then you throw in the drives, the drive killers, and all that. But no, that's something that has to be addressed as far as when we not only throwing the ball downfield, we're actually able to execute. You know, whether those intermediate routes are those longer throws, and therefore also getting more yards after the catch, which we very seldom do. The one who gets yards after the catch would be at times, I would say, Juwan Johnson. And Rashid Shaheed should get way more yards after the catch than he actually has been getting. And then I would say Kamara. And not always Kamara, too. So, I don't know.
That was the problem. Kamara got no yak today.
Yeah, no.
He
got minus yak.
Right.
Like I said, Steve said this earlier, he got 4 catches for 2 yards. And his long game was 4. One time he caught the ball, I think it was like, remember, minus. When did that ever happen? So.
Taking a break here on The Point after the Saints losing 31-19 in Buffalo. Next matchup for them will be a week from today, hosting the New York Giants. Going to take a break here on The Point after. Be back with more of your calls, 260-1870. We'll be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Saints Point After brought to you by McDonald's. The black and gold falling 31-19 to Buffalo. Now 0-4 on the season. Going right back to our talk and text line. You can sound off to 504-260-1870. Going to Eon, talking about some coaching issues. What's up, Eon?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Steve. How you doing?
All right, Eon, what you got?
Well, Sanker, I don't know where he came from. He's not drinking the Sanka, that's for sure. He's drinking the Starbucks strong stuff. My question is this, identity. I don't think that we're trying to get enough big plays downfield. So then you'd say, why is that? Is it because we don't trust the quarterback? Is it coaching? Seems like, okay, we're playing it safe. But then we try to go for 2 points, like chasing points. At a time where I don't know if it's like the right time to be chasing points. And so my question is kind of like what the identity is. Cause that like kills the momentum, like not making it like
the 2 point play. Yeah.
So like, it just seems like it's taken away any momentum you might have. And that's like coaching and like the play earlier. I know where they were talking about, y'all were talking about like when they were trying to go, with the trick play, it just seems like a lot of this is just like coaching. So I'm just like curious, are we trying to find balance or like what do you think the issue is with that?
Well, I think Kellen Moore's never been a head coach. So you're trying to figure out what you think can work to light a fire. Like I said, if you do a trick play and you hit on it, then you say, boy, that really fooled the Bills. And the Bills were fooled, but we just didn't execute it. So then do you trust the players? And then it's really frustrating because you can't get over the hump. Like you get so close, so far, like you're knocking on the door. Eon, look at the Cardinals game. Now, it was a great play by the Cardinals, but what if Juwan Johnson makes a great catch? I don't know if we win in overtime, but at least maybe you're going into overtime. Or you look within one possession, with the 49ers, the opportunity to win that game. But as far as what occurred, Seattle, no, yeah, we had no chance. The special teams was terrible. I don't know. We didn't come to play in Seattle, whatever it might be. But I don't know. Is the NFL, Seattle looked way better to me than the Bills. I don't know if the Bills are overlooking us because we're playing the Saints or whatever that might be. But it's all about you still have to execute. And as far as pushing the ball down the field, I don't really know the trust factor that, and Spencer Rattler should have more of a trust factor with Rashid Shaheed. I think teams might take the approach, well, let make them have to work the ball down the field. They'll make a mistake and don't give up a chunk play. But then Derek Carr hit a bunch of chunk plays with Rashid Shaheed, like bombs away.
I'm more worried about the relationship with Olave. There just seems to be something off between him and Rattler.
Well, something's off, and then, I mean, you can't say something's off when it hits them right in the hands and they don't catch it.
Right.
But then, I don't know, that's on Rattler, though. It's now been... Now, today was horrendous. That pass to Brandon Cooks, that was way too far behind. But even the Chris Olave pass, when he had him for a touchdown, well, that had been about a 30, 35-yard touchdown. He threw it behind him, and Olave couldn't snag it. So that'd be on the quarterback. You got to be more accurate with the football. And that's one thing. You know, you can have an unbelievable arm. Boy, he throws a pretty ball. Look at that. Boy, he can really spin it. But you got to be accurate. You know, where are you spinning that ball to? Can make the big difference. So Ian, right now, I know you know what's the number one thing as a player from a psychological standpoint and the coaches believing in the players and vice versa, you got to win. You know, like I said, even if it'd be like, oh, that was lucky. Because Drew Brees even said this, and we said, and this is so true, quarterback to quarterback, that, you know, when you come away with a from a game, then, you know, you go watch the game film, and you break it down to position groups. Then you might highlight plays you'll watch as a team and all that. But then when you truly watch the game, usually, even though you won, boy, we were kind of lucky there. It's not as good as you think. And then a lot of times when you think, man, that was horrendous. Man, we suck. We never did anything good. Then you go, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought. So something always.
Even the Seattle film?
Yes, I'm telling you, they had bright spots that were like Kellen Moore. You know, you look at the glass half full, like that second half, how you kept fighting, but the game's so already out of hand. I don't know, I'm not watching the film with it, but I guarantee you that there are plays in that game, like the outstanding, when they special teams. You know, special teams suck, but then we had a 40-yard punt return. That's outstanding. If you have a 40-yard punt return, every game, that gives you a big chance and to help you score for sure on that possession because how you flip in the field. What's mind-boggling today, how we did not – they had to dig themselves out of a hole. Look where your average starting per possession. Charlie, you can look that up, the Bills versus the Saints. No, we had unbelievable field position all day. Like I said, out of 65 plays, I want to say 37 or 38 was in Bills territory. And that's what you're chomping at the bit. That's when you're really confident. You know, those games are like, well, you know, how we're flipping the field with the hidden yardage. It's all going our way. We're going to win. But then the Saints don't win. You know, so it's just frustrating. Yeah, in some way you got to find a way to win. But I know in the NFL, you might say, well, Kellen Moore will have a chance, you know, to turn around. I think with the Saints, yes, he'd have more than 1 year. But some places, they fire you after 1 year if things aren't turning around. So you got to wait and see what's going to happen. And there's going to come games where, like the Giants and the Patriots, I'll tell you right now, if we're training in the right direction and they respecting Kellen Moore and all that, we should win those games. Because the Giants and the Patriots, they're not winning anything this year. Well, what are the Giants and Patriots doing this year? You think they playing Jackson Dart now, playing for the future? The Giants don't think they're winning anything this year, and the Patriots they finally trying to turn the corner with Drake May and be relevant and maybe make the playoffs. Yeah, so they're gonna feel good about themselves. But it's not like you're not gonna be the expectation every week like you're playing the Bills. Are we playing the Packers or the Eagles? Oh, well, the Saints have no chance. You know, we're not on that level. No, that's why no excuses that they can't feel sorry for themselves. You pros, you want to make a living doing this? You got to win. and they have to somehow rally as a team, come away to a win at home and give a good showing for the home folks against the Giants and Patriots in the Dome the next couple of games.
Hanging out here on The Point After, let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Eon, thanks for the call. I want to hear from you as well on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Taking that break, be back with more of The Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into The Point After. American Safety, for each point scored by the Saints this season, American Safety will donate $50 to disaster relief. American Safety, stronger than the storm and right here for you. The Saints put up 19 in today's loss, 31-19, losing to the Buffalo Bills. Going into our talk and text line, you can sound off 504-260-1870. Up next in therapy, Gumbo on the West Bank. What you got today, Gumbo?
All right, how y'all doing?
All right, Gumbo, what you got, man?
All right, Bobby, I got a couple things for you. So first of all, they looked a lot better than they did last week in Seattle. No pro team should ever look that way. The game should never be over in a game in the first quarter.
Right, right.
But two things stuck out to me. Jonas Sanka, third-round pick out of Virginia. The Saints handed him an opportunity, and he was out there making plays. So I guess sometimes an injury can lead to an opportunity.
Yeah, he definitely he has good ball skills, and we've seen this in training camp. He's actually better than Reed, from Dutchtown, the homeboy who came from the Chiefs. He actually caught interceptions in training camp and has made plays on the ball. And that was a nice interception that Jonas Sanker had today. And he had five total tackles, which was second, as far as the lead. Now, Double D didn't have the kind of game. He had seven total tackles, five unassisted. But look at Sanker. They were going after him. He also had three passes defended, which led the team, and along with that pick. But still, he missed some tackles. Right. So I think we shared the wealth on that, the disgrace of missed tackles. Too many of those. And that's the difference of whether, now it doesn't matter who you're trying to tackle, I understand that. But that's a whole lot of difference when you look at, when you see, what are they averaging per carry and all, and whether it be Josh Allen, 27 long gain. Okay, if we don't miss the tackles that we miss, he's not going that far. Cook, plus 15. So you look at those type plays. Look at Shakir when they ran that right at the beginning of the game, 43-yard touchdown. That's all they missed tackles. So, that's what, as a defensive team, I think we still we miss too many tackles that affects the outcome. Because, look, now I don't think the Giants and Patriots would get this, but you know how we scored 19 points? That's what we need to be giving up. Our defense needs to be good enough scoring defense where we only allow in 19, maybe 20 at most. But if you look what happened against the Seahawks, now obviously the points scored there, but 31 the Bills got. But that the Bills have scored over 30 points every game so far this season. And, it was almost like Hoss had said, this almost exactly the Bills-Dolphins game. They beat the Bills 31-21. They beat the Dolphins 31-21, and they beat us 31-19. So they were right at their average.
They put the pedal to the metal at the end.
Yes. Yeah. And so with that being said, though, we got to play way – for us to win, we got to play way better scoring defense. And I'm not saying that's a shootout, but it almost would have taken a shootout to win this kind of game. And, we left points on the field. So you said, Bobby, you said if we have to score high 20s and low 30s, we have no chance because we're not going to do that. Well, today, if we really execute, we would have had a chance to do that. But that's not a winning formula, I don't think, the way this team's structured.
Taking a break here on The Point After, the Saints losing 31-19 in Buffalo. We'll be back with more of your calls after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are back on The Point After, the Saints losing 31-19 in Buffalo. Week 4 action. The Saints now 0-4 on the season. They'll be back in the Caesars Superdome next Sunday to host the New York Giants and Jackson Dart. That'll be an interesting matchup for sure, as we'll be previewing that all week coming up. Back to our talk and text line, though. You can sound off 504-260-1870 with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Cannon Big Papa from Katy, Texas is up. What you got, Big Papa?
Hey, man. How's it going? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Started listening with Bum Phillips and Earl Campbell when I came over. But
yep.
Look, I'm super frustrated with Olave here, right? So I'm a fan of Rattler, but he's going to live and die with Olave. How many times has he dropped the ball this year?
Well, he's had a few drop passes. And some of them have been difficult catches. Some of them have been easy catches. But I don't know. He just doesn't seem like an alpha. I mean, does it seem like Chris Olave? I don't know, that swag. I don't know how you describe it. I'm not saying he's sheepish, but I guess I am. I know his personality and all that. He just
I just know it's not an alpha performance, Bobby.
Yeah, well, he's an NFL receiver, but not like a number one receiver. A lot of people want to defend Chris Olave. Oh, well, he runs great routes. Yeah, well, so what? I wish he would run crappy routes and then catch everything, or just kind of ad-lib now and then always making plays. Because
go ahead. When Olave's brother was posting those texts about Carr, like leading him into concussions and stuff, it just feels like his heart's not in it. I mean, he drops every other pass. I mean, he obviously can't pass. But it just feels like his heart's not in it. And, I mean, Rattler's going to have to decide, do I go with Olave or Shahid? I mean, it seems like he spread it around for his own benefit.
Yeah, spread it around. You can say Rashid or Juwan Johnson. Now, Juwan Johnson got targeted three times, three catches, had a long gain of 17. Even Brandon Cooks got targeted more than I thought. He got targeted four, had three catches. Long gain of 9 yards. But what was the game, Charlie and Steve? Y'all help me out here. I think it might have been the 49ers game, and it wasn't even a low pass. And Chris Olave, like, caught the ball and just fell down. It was, I want to say, like, waist high. It's like, I know, and listen, I've had 11 concussions. I know it's not fun. And then especially coming across the middle. But then back in the day when they were really headhunting, he'd have quit by now. When they really used to knock the crap out of the receiver. You know, they can't really go helmet to helmet. Now you can get a fine, you get suspended, you could do it, but that was all legal hits. And it just seems like I don't know, are you focused? Lack of concentration? Because he has the skill set to catch a football. So that'd be lack of concentration. Did you notice, I want you to say, go back and look at the touchdown that he caught on the slant and just look at his celebration. His celebration there was like getting himself motivated. Like, this is how you're supposed to do it. Watch how he's almost like wanting to hit himself in the head. Like, wake up, finally.
I'm sure it was a relief for him, too, his first touchdown of the year. And it's been frustrating, like you've mentioned, with the drops. He knows it.
Right, right. And then it just starts snowballing negative. And then, no, if he wouldn't have had, no, nothing to write home about. But he did have a positive finish. Because he had no catches at one time.
Oh, it started awful this game for him.
He had, like, if you had him as your fantasy receiver, he had minus points.
Because of the interception, right?
Yeah, because the interception he threw. But he ended up, you know, with three catches, but only 6.7 average. He had that 10-yard long gain. But, no, Chris Olave, if he'd be a number one, he needs to be hovering around. I mean, not necessarily. You know, like he did in the past, a 1,000-yard receiver. And, you know, when they make a big thing, oh, I'm a 1,000-yard receiver. Well, hell yeah, you play 17 games. Well, what are you now, if you tell me, now you're over 1,500 yards in 17 games, now that's different. That's a great accomplishment. But, again, a lot of fans, Who Dat Nation members, they're frustrated with Olave. And when decided to, like, Derek Carr was setting him up to get hurt and all that, no, that was never the case. And you playing football, you will take some shots that maybe you don't want to. And a lot of times, receiver could be going across the middle, and the quarterback throws a bad pass, But how about as a receiver, do you make a great catch and even though you take the hit? I mean, it's not always going to be as easy as you think.
We're here on The Point After. I want to take your calls, 504-260-1870. Also, your text, the same number. Saints losing 31-19 at Buffalo. Now 0-4 on the season for New Orleans. We're taking that break. Be back with more of The Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. What up to all my recovering hoodats here? The Saints falling to 0-4 in the season, losing 31-19 at the Buffalo Bills. Our talk and text line open. You heard the numbers, 504-260-1870. Before we get back into that, want to find out what's bugging Bobby about today's game. That's brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. Cajun Cannon, another tough one to stomach here for the black and gold. They did at least look better than week three showing. But what is bugging you about today's game?
Well, we finally got an interception. Were we still not affecting the opposing quarterback enough? You know, I said this in the pregame, that we were dead last in affecting the opposing quarterback as far as pressure and pass rush. You know, we were giving up, for instance, it wasn't like, oh, no, they coming. And, you know, it seems like we have to trick protections to get pressure on the quarterback. Now, we did sack Josh Allen three times. You know, Cam Jordan came up with a sack, Carl Granderson and Brian Brzee. So, and that's a big guy to get down, you know, Josh Allen. But when you look at, like, pressures, for instance, coming into the game, we're dead last, like 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, almost 3.5 seconds before we're getting after the quarterback, which a lot of quarterbacks feel like they can make a sandwich, especially coming into this game, and they weren't really affected. I thought we got after Josh Allen a little better compared to the previous three games. But you look at the Saints, and this trend does not need a hold because then that means the opposing quarterback is playing winning football. For instance, Josh Allen, I said, he played okay, but he still had a quarterback rating of 113.6. I said, damn, it didn't seem like he played that good, but he was really accurate, 16 of 22 for 202 yards. So, you know, the perception is that we're still not impacting on the trigger man. And the reason why I bring it up, because coming into the game, we were in danger of setting a negative NFL record, giving up a quarterback rating of 118.9, so almost 119. And you know who has the record in NFL history? The Saints defense in 2015.
Oh.
That mark belongs to the 2015 Saints. We allowed a passer rating that year. And remember, because we had Drew Brees, we were hovering around 500, or we might have only won three or four games. But we allowed 116.2 passer rating. Now, you can't turn it around, though. We can't turn around. Like, for instance, in 2018, the Saints got off to a horrific start defensively. Then the teams were completing 74.5% of the passes and a quarterback rating of 141.7. after three games. So it's been worse than this. But like I said, right, coming into the game, giving up a quarterback rating of 118.9, unacceptable, and that's still unacceptable, 113.6. So in the future, coming to the Dome, has the quarterbacks really felt uncomfortable so far this season in the Dome? No.
Negative, right.
Right. And it's not Brock Purdy. You have to look at Mac Jones. Who are we playing? Now, Kyler Murray, I mean, he's up and down on a roller coaster as far as mistakes. So just look at Sam Darnold. No. For instance, we played Sam Darnold.
You mean Mr. Perfect?
We recorded just three pressures on Sam Darnold and 18 dropbacks. And then you look at the week before, and you go, oh, well, the Seahawks offensive linemen would be awesome. No, they played the Steelers, and they gave up 14 pressures. Tile three. So I think right now, one winning formula for our defense affect the opposing quarterback more. So that's what's bugging me. That's still way too high. So, look, the next 2 weeks, they're young quarterbacks. They haven't played, like, we all know this, the first start for Jackson Dart, or second start.
It'll be his first road game.
First road game. Don't make him feel like, oh, I don't want to go back to New Orleans. Or even Drake May. He hasn't started a whole season. So the next two games, it's not like We playing all this experience. It's not like Pat Mahomes is coming to town, or whoever you think of is like amongst the best quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, whatever. So that's what's been bugging me is that we making the quarterbacks way better than I think we need to as far as if we're going to win the game with that QB rating with them at the highest level in the NFL.
What's Bugging Bobby brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. We shall return with even more of The Point After. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome on back to The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Folks, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. After today's game, current donation, $7,650. Cajun Cannon looking at
a couple of texts,
talking text line. Someone saying, is that an actual data point or Bobby making something up? I'm assuming that's about your QB stats,
rating.
Right?
No. Don't y'all remember just last week, Sam Darnold had a perfect quarterback rating in the first half. What was it, Steve? Like, what is it, Charlie? 158.3 or something? What was that, a perfect quarterback rating?
155.8.
I think he ended up with 153. So, no, I'm not making that up. That's actually how you evaluate quarterbacks like Drew Brees. You know, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Remember that that primetime game when he waxed the Patriots and Belichick and Tom Brady and all rose the white flag and he came out the game with 6 minutes?
Right.
Drew Brees had a perfect quarterback rating that game. So, no, that is a thing. I'm not making it up. That's what I'm saying. If we don't affect the opposing quarterbacks, no, that definitely dictates the outcome of the game. So that means that the opposing quarterback's having success, you're probably not going to win. Now, how about this text, Steve? This from 88-82. I'm so sick of Bobby and the fans complaining about Olave, but no one is saying Kellen Moore's game plan and calls are sorry. Well, to move the chains to first down, no matter, Kellen Moore doesn't have to catch the ball.
I was going
to
say, did Kellen drop it? Did he throw an interception?
Yeah. No. Chris Olave got to catch the ball. Now, and some fans might say, I'm sick and tired of some fans, the apologists for Olave, saying he's the number one receiver. So I don't know. It's a give and take both ways.
Well, we're going to go to our talk line now, Cajun Cannon. We got Patrick in Houston wants to sound off. Patrick, how you doing tonight on The Point After?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. Bobby, a few things. I really think it's time to bench the rat, as I like to call him, in favor of the shucker. I think Tyler Shuck needs to start the next game, see what we have with him. Rattler is what, like 0-8 and 0-9?
No, now 0-10.
0-10. I sit corrected in my 2018 Ford Fiesta. Number one. Number two, kind of a blast from the past, going down memory lane, so to speak. I'm a huge Southern Miss Golden Eagles fan, and I was wondering your thoughts, recollections, memories of Sammy Winder and Hanford Dixon, two legendary Southern Miss players from the 1980s. You played against them, I'm sure. And then third, if you don't mind, Bobby, would you give a special shout-out to a lovely lady of mine from Metairie by the name of Erin? She's a big fan of yours.
All right, Erin. Shout-out to Erin from Metairie. So,
Bobby's always willing to accommodate the ladies of the Houdat Nation.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Hey, Erin. Houdat. Hanford Dixon? Yeah, he was an unbelievable cornerback with the Browns, like all-pro. Wasn't just a pro bowler, but all-pro. Sammy Winder. If I could recall Sammy Winder, I think he might have played with the Dolphins. A running back, if I can remember, Southern Miss running back. So, I remember one of the greatest Southern Miss names, though, from the River Parish. Played with the Steelers, Lewis Lips. That's a sweet name, especially if you could play at the NFL level. Oh, yeah, I'm a wide receiver. What's your name? Lewis Lips.
Let me show you why they call me that.
Yeah, Lewis Lips. Always thought that was an outstanding name. But what else he had was the what was the first thing? Oh, to change quarterbacks.
Why?
No. That's not. Shuck would not make the difference. But I still think, though, if you're not winning, even though Shuck's not the reason.
Eventually that will happen.
They will change. I think that's more like a bye week to give you an extra week of practice to get familiar. So, Steve, look at this schedule, right?
Week 11 is the bye week, and then we come back week 12 to host the Falcons.
So I could say 12, 30, 40. So the last handful of games plus if it's not getting them with Spencer Rattler, okay, Chuck, let's go see what you could do.
I'm right with you.
So that's what I think. So, no, I think we're going to ride the Rattler. So up until the bye week, who do we play? Okay, we got the Giants, Patriots, and we go at Chicago. Okay, Giants, Patriots at Chicago.
Home to the Bucs.
Home to the Bucs. So that's four games. And is that the bye?
After that, at Rams, at Panthers, then the bye.
At Rams, at Panthers. I'd say they go way through. They don't want at the Rams, whatever.
And you don't want to give his first start, I would think, on the road.
At the Panthers, maybe, on the road. come on, that's not necessarily a hostile environment, even though we didn't win in Charlotte. We always usually play good, though, I think, in Carolina. But, that's why I think his first game, I'm going to look into my crystal ball, Chuck's first game will be against a division opponent. It'll either be at Carolina or after the bye week, the Falcons in the Superdome.
And this is what the Swami Cannon predicts.
Yeah, that's what I'm predicting. But I think Tyler Shuck will have an opportunity. Will he have more success? I don't know. We have to wait and see. But so how many more games for the bye week, Chris Steve? Is that five or what?
Our bye week is week 11, so we have
five, right?
Six more games.
So I don't think Spencer Rattler will be 0-16.
Oh, please no.
I think he can win at least a couple of games out of that. I just think next two is a great opportunity for him.
Rattler redemption starts next Sunday.
Yeah, the Giants come into town. They got the best D-line, I think one of the best in the whole league, at least on paper. And then sometimes they do it on the field. But they're definitely a top three as far as the ability. And then
we'll find out the status of Malik Nabers. It did not look good for him. They're saying he might have a torn ACL.
Yeah, man. Everyone follows their LSU Titan Fighting Tiger players.
Definitely.
So, you look at the Giants and the Patriots. I mean, I don't know. The Patriots were viewed as one of the upcoming teams this year, but I still think playing at home, we should be able to take care of them. I think that's going to be a tough game at Chicago, no matter who he's playing. I wish we were playing the Bears here. I would like our chances better there, but. But it'd be interesting, one game at a time. I think Spencer Rattler might get his first win next week in the season Superdome against the Giants.
Saints falling today, though, 31-19 at Buffalo, making their way back home next week in the Dome, like Bobby said, against the New York Giants. We're taking a break here on The Point After. Be back with more of your calls. Stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point after taking your calls and text messages, 504-260-1870. Cajun Cannon, one stuck out to you on our text line right now you wanted to get to.
Yeah, this is from Pat. Pat's
tough question.
Yeah, he interacts with. This is a tough question. This is Cannon, Steve, Charlie. Not sure if anyone there has discussed the elephant in the room. Once again, this week, Alvin Kamara's career is dying on the vine. Don't you think AK is worth more to a team in a trade value than helping us in losing weekly? He's a great player whose career has been wasted the last few years. With the DA and Carr experiments, why not trade him while he still has value? He deserves a shot at Super Bowl ring. I mean, teams don't care about that. the coach in Denver would pay a king's ransom maybe for him, like Sean Payton. Yeah, I think Alvin Kamara still has something, a lot left in the tank. At the right place, right time. But, you know, do you hold on the player a year or two long then instead of trying to get some value for him? That's a good question. The Saints get to a certain point where, because I think, no one's trading for DeMario Davis or Cam Jordan. No, you're old. And right now, where Alvin Kamara is,
you don't think a legit contender would go after a guy like DeMario?
To provide depth? Or
yeah, that leadership plus depth.
Yeah, but they're not going to give up nothing. I still think you can get something more in value.
I got you. What you're saying, a high draft pick still for Alvin. Okay.
Look at Alvin. Just watch how he turns the corner. He runs like he's 22 years old. Then run like he's 30 years of age. And he averaged right at 5 yards a carry. I just think all around back that there's still value. So if you're truly rebuilding – no, now would maybe be the time. Now maybe you got to wait till the trade deadline comes about and see what maybe could come about with Alvin, but you'd want to definitely get something for him. So see how
Definitely listening to any phone call coming my way.
The only player that on the whole roster that are not be listening would maybe be the center McCoy. Everybody else in the team could be traded Okay. If we truly rebuilding, looking towards the future, McCoy would be the only one that I think, that's the center point of it. So you don't want to get rid of that guy because he's a top three center, for sure top five in the whole NFL.
Yeah, and you
look, and he's young.
You look at the rest of the roster, and I'm listening to whatever you're interested in. I consider trading. There's nobody that's off limits.
No, we have the young tackles, so they're already young. But still, they're not. I mean, depending what you get in return. But I'm just saying that's where we're at right now. It's like we're not worried about maybe we get into the postseason and going to run in the playoffs. No, we are truly rebuilding right now. So.
Thanks for the text. We're going to go to our talk line now, and Daryl and Galliano wants to sound off. Daryl, how you doing tonight on The Point After?
Hey, I'm doing all right, fellas. How y'all doing, Steve and Bobby?
All right, Daryl. What you got? What do you think of that game?
Let's talk about the short field we was given and how we got to red zone so many times. Like, we was given, like, we scored, like, one of the drives. We went, I think, 13 yards in 7 plays.
You mean like we were in the red zone? We did actually better than we did in past games where we were not 50%. Like in the past, instead of going 2 for 4, which I think we should have been 3 of 4 today as far as getting touchdowns. You remember I said we got to get a whole lot better. We can't be like 1 of 4 in the red zone and settling for field goals. You got to get touchdowns. So, whether you challenge the play calling and not getting in the end zone, that's a different thing. But it's not just moving the ball. Spencer Rattler was outstanding. I'm telling you, in OTA's minicamp, even training camp, like moving the ball between the 20s. Or let's say they put the ball in the 30. Getting 2-3 first downs and bogged down. And Spencer Rattler has not, and not even against our defense, when they're competing in training camp. No, he was like, we didn't convert, and we tried for a 4th down, then get it, or he had thrown an interception. He's been staying away, though, from the turnovers, way more as of late in games than he had, in training camp and stuff, as far as throwing picks.
Where's our long plays, Bobby? We have no long plays, brother. We ain't got no plays.
Yeah.
And I like 10, 12-yard plays. I mean, it's a first down, right?
You get
the first down. But we got to be, every now and then, we need those 20, 30-yard plays.
Ways
from the end zones.
We're definitely starved from those explosives.
Well, we won those explosive bombs. Like, old school, we need to throw more bombs, go routes, however you describe them. And, Saints fans, Hoot Dawg Nation, and Daryl, you one of them, is that, no, I witnessed that. I witnessed Rashid Shaheed making those type plays, but it was Derek Carr throwing it to him. And now we got Spencer Rattler. So I don't know what Spencer Rattler is seeing and maybe not wanting to take a chance at those shot plays. Because you have to have trust in the receivers to get there. And Rashid Shaheed's one of those guys where you're blowing the top off of defense because he is that fast. Now, Chris Olave is more, I'd say, a route runner. Jawan Johnson, even though he's a pass receiving tight end who was a receiver, he's still not Jimmy Graham splitting the defense down the middle, even though I still think he has that ability. But, yeah, I think we need to at least take a chance more with chunk plays, but then maybe Spencer Rattler doesn't want to do that because then you have more takeaways.
Going back to our talk line, Bobby, Steven Monterey wants to know, what's this team need to do to improve? What you got for us today, Steve?
Steve, are you there?
Monterey, you there?
It's got to be Monterey, California, a member of Hoot Dawg Nation. What you got, Steve?
All right, Steve. Up next, though, we'll go to Ken in New Orleans. Ken, how you doing tonight on The Point After?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
So far, so good.
My question is, we changed coaches, and it didn't change the sway of the gods in Vegas. So it's not about a coaching issue. It's a team issue. And what got the team to this point? What's the systemic reason why we got to this point? It's evidently personnel. And who's in charge of that?
Well, that would be Mickey Loomis and the scouting department. and everyone involved in that, because they're the ones who drive the players, and they invested in offensive line. And I've said this, Ken, even in the beginning of a training camp, I thought this caught my attention. That's why I said the offensive line has to be great, not just good. And maybe we didn't draft the right players. You know, us and the Chargers are the only teams that potentially we're going to have who projected starters, four out of the five were first-rounders. Do you think more teams would have that? No. Just the Saints and the Chargers, four out of the five potential starters drafted in the first round. Well, look where the Chargers at. I guess they might be drafting the right players, but then they hurt. They got slated from Northwestern, and then he dislocated his kneecap, the highest-paid tackle.
And then all got
and then
hurt
they
today.
Move, then they move Alt from right tackle to left tackle, and they got the real Notre Dame player, not like Isaiah Foskey. Oh, personnel. So when you look at Alt, then Steve, then you're telling me he got hurt today.
Correct.
So you got to have luck with injuries, but no, I would think that you know, it's all a combination. Personnel, coaching, and how you mesh and gel together. But, you know, you can't have players where you're drafting like Davenport or you're drafting Peyton Turner and they're first-rounders. They don't even play. They always hurt.
Non-factors.
They're non-factors. So, yeah, that's a good point, Ken. I think a lot of it, so Mickey Loomis and organization, they didn't look in the mirror. Well, you want to say the coach? No, it's the damn players you have. And then you got people always take up for the players. They go, no, the damn coaches don't know what they're doing. You know, so, I mean, all I know is you don't have those problems when you have, like, Sean Payton and Alpha and Drew Brees and Alpha. And they kind of make everything else look better. Make everyone else look better. Like, Drew, how many people Drew Brees got help get paid?
Whew.
Think about the players around him that he helped get paid. And now they were good. Then Tom Brady did the same thing in New England. You think Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick without Tom Brady? Sure don't look like that right now. I knew Bill Belichick back then when he was head coach of Cleveland Browns. Then when Jack, you know who was his defensive back coach? Nick Saban. Well, what did they do with the Browns? Nothing. Then they get the right place, right time. Like all of a sudden, Saban goes to LSU, Alabama, greatest coach ever. They work out with the Dolphins. Belichick, oh, he's working out with the Patriots. Oh, I think Tom Brady has something to do with that. I used to say it was more 50-50, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Nope.
I think it's more Tom Brady now, because look what Tom Brady did with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then now, what does Belichick do with the North Carolina Tar Heels? Nothing. He's embarrassing the North Carolina Tar Heels. But I respect Belichick. And Saban, look, Steve Spurrier was unbelievable, won the Heisman Trophy. What he did at the University of Florida, what he did with the Washington Redskins, nothing. So, I mean, to me, that's why the quarterback's that important.
Taking a break here on The Point After. Saints falling 31-19 to the Buffalo Bills. We'll return with even more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point After. We're going to take a pause for let stations identify themselves. 10 seconds here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After as we close things out, Cajun Cannon. No participation trophies given out here. Yes, the Saints put up a decent fight, but oh well, they're 0-4, losing 31-19 to the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo now 4-0 on the season. Saints 0-4. They're going to be back home next Sunday to host a New York Giants squad, getting a little confidence with their new quarterback. Rookie Jackson Dart gets a start at home.
Well, their first win.
Start, got a win. They had some injury issues, though. We know Malik Nabers, it doesn't look good for him. But overall, what do the Saints have to do? What do this team, the New Orleans, have to do for themselves going into this matchup next week?
Well, how about we finally scored in the first quarter, so how about we score first? You know, how about we have the lead? And not, I think throughout the whole season we've had the lead maybe for 4 minutes. And look, that's four games.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, get off the fast start, get the crowd into the game, and hopefully we can get on that plus side and turnover margin and come away with a win against the New York football Giants.
Going to hear from you more on tomorrow's second guest show at the Silver Slipper Casino. I'm Steve Geller for Charlie Long. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the Hoodats.
All right, bon nuit les gens. Good night, people. Hoodat, go Saints.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.